Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, Chapter 1, the 6th Mishnah.
Our Mishnah discusses acquiring through chalifin, through exchange. This method of kinyan is effective only for movable property, metaltalin, as well as for land, as well as for karka. Coinage cannot be acquired using chalifin. The reason that is given in the Gemara is because its value is the law, is the imprint stamped on it, which could become effaced.
Let us begin the reading of our Mishnah.
Kol nasa damim v'acher kevan shezocha zeh nischayav zeh v'chalifin. Anything which takes on monetary value in place of another, meaning we assess the value of something and it is exchanged for another object. Person literally exchanges one item for the value of another item instead of using money, so that, you know, bartering for possessions. The moment, as soon as the seller were to perform meshicha and acquire the buyer's article, he's chayv zeh b'chalifin. The buyer becomes obligated for its exchange, even though the buyer doesn't have the item in his actual possession. Nonetheless, if it were to get lost or stolen, he would be responsible for it. Why is that? The moment the seller does meshicha and acquires the buyer's article, the buyer takes responsibility for it. And the truth really is, it's very simple. As long as one of the individuals performs this meshicha, the whole concept of chalifin, this whole concept of exchange, already begins to take effect, and there is an obligation on behalf of the other party to obligate himself in paying for the item. Mishnah asks, Ketzad, how is this so? How exactly is this acquisition, this kinyan of chalifin affected? Mishnah says, Hechlif shor b'fara, o chamor b'shor, kevan shezacha zeh nischayv zeh b'chalifav. For example, a person exchanges an ox for a cow, or an ass for an ox. Since this one acquires, this one becomes obligated for its exchange. Meaning, as soon as the owner of the ox were to do meshicha on the cow after him, or if the owner of the ass were to draw the ox after him, the owner of the cow would acquire the ox, the owner of the ox would acquire the ass, and become obligated for the animal. The Mishnah now continues to discuss other different types of transactions, and when does the acquisition begin to take effect. First example, Rishus HaGavoha HaKetzav. The title of the temple treasury takes effect in the following manner. When money is given by the treasurer of the temple to purchase something for the use in the Mikdash, he acquires the object immediately, wherever it may be. Rishus HaHedyot BeChazaka. But the ownership of an ordinary person, he doesn't acquire it with money, but only with Chazaka, only with Meshicha or other different types of kinyanim, as explained above, would such a person, a regular person, acquire the item. If an ordinary person were to just, let's say, give money for an item, he would not acquire it, he would not become the owner, until he actually makes a physical acquisition, until he lifts the item or affects one of the other kinyanim that we mentioned a couple of Mishnayos earlier. The Mishnah concludes, Amiraso l'gavoah kimsiraso l'hedjot. If a person were to make a statement, a person were to declare to the treasury of the Beis HaMikdash, it is as if it is mesira to regular, ordinary person. For example, if a person were to say, this ox over here is for an olai, korban olai, which is a burnt offering, or this chair is going to become sanctified and it will belong to the Mikdash, the object, the ox or this chair, would in fact become acquired. It would be owned by the Mikdash immediately, regardless where it is located. The person who is Mekadesh, these items, whether it's the animal or this chair, would not be able to change his mind. Because once he makes the statement that this belongs to the Mikdash, it is as if he has lifted the item, it's as if he has given the object to a regular person. However, a regular person would not be allowed to, would never acquire something by declaration alone, but has to perform either Meshicha or Chazakah. When dedicating something to the Mikdash, a person's amirasa, a person's statement, is sufficient for it to become acquired and to become the property of the Mikdash, a higher level of holiness. The next Mishnah Zayin, is drastically different from any of the other previous Mishnayos that we've discussed upon this parak. This Mishnah deals with principles which women are exempt from various mitzvos, and which mitzvos, which commandments a woman would be obligated to perform. Kol mitzvas haben avav, anashim chayvim v'nashim p'tiros. All the mitzvos that are placed on a father to complete, to ensure happens for his son, anashim are chayav v'nashim p'tiros. A male is obligated to perform these mitzvos, and a woman is exempt from performing these mitzvos. And more of these mitzvos that a father must ensure happen to his child, to his son, they are l'molot, to give a bris milah, l'toso, imhu b'chor, to redeem him. What's called the pidyon habein, to teach him Torah, l'lamdo umanus, to teach him a craft, provide him a means of survival, l'hasio isha, to provide for him a wife, and others also add to this list, to teach him how to swim, l'ashito b'nahar. It's a list. These are the lists that a father is obligated to perform these commandments for his son. However, women, a mother, would be exempt from all of these mitzvos. The reason is simple. She herself is exempt from these mitzvos, and therefore the women are exempt to perform them, and therefore they are also exempt. They are not obligated to perform them for their children. The Mishnah continues, V'chol mitzvos ha'avah l'bein, echad anashim, echad nashim chayavim. Mitzvos that are placed upon the child in order to perform on his father would be relevant. Both children, regardless of their male or female, are obligated to adhere to them. Classic examples of mitzvos that sons and daughters are obligated to fulfill are, of course, the mitzvahs of respect and honoring their parents, mora and kavod. An example of mora, of fear, lo yeshiv b'mkomo, you know, to sit in their seats, lo yistor svarav, you cannot contradict their words. Kavod, what is an example of giving them honor and dignity? Machil umashke, to provide for your parents food and drink, malbish, to provide them clothing, to help them walk around, to serve them food. All these are examples of honor that both male and female, both sons and daughters, must perform, must adhere to for their parents. The whole mitzvah, our Mishnah says, Aseh Shez Mangrama, any positive time-bound mitzvahs, Nashim Chayavim, the Nashim Tiros, men are obligated to perform them, and women are exempt. What will be an example of a positive commandment which is time-bound? Examples would be the mitzvah of shofar, sukkah, lulav, tzitzis. All these are examples of positive commandments that only men are obligated to fulfill. However, v'chol mitzvahs asei shelo zman grama, positive commandments that aren't necessarily tied, not necessarily caused by a specific moment in time, echad anashim, the echad nashim chayavim, both male and female, would be obligated to perform them. What would be an examples of mitzvos that are positive commandments are not connected to time? Examples include, but definitely not preclude, mezuzah. Placing a mezuzah as a positive commandment, not connected to a specific time. Time is not the cause of such a mezuzah. Examples also would be Hashavas Aveda, returning lost objects, Shiluch Hakan, shooing away a mother bird before taking its egg. Those are positive commandments that are not connected to time, that both women and men are obligated to fulfill equally. V'chol mitzvahs lo saseh, and any negative commandments, ben shazman grama, ben shelo azman grama, regardless if they are time-bound or not time-bound, echad anashim, echad anashim, chayavim. Both male and female are obligated to fulfill them. For example, breaking Shabbos, doing malacha on Shabbos, which is a negative commandment, which is time-bound, regardless if they're male or female, they're not allowed to perform malacha on Shabbos or on Yom Tov for that matter. Even though it is a time-bound mitzvah, since it's a negative mitzvah, there's no difference between male and female. An example of a mitzvah that is not time-bound, that's negative, would be the prohibition, for example, of eating non-kosher or eating a nevela. All these, it doesn't make a difference. Both men and women are obligated equally in these negative commandments. The Mishnah, however, does list a few exceptions, and the exceptions are Chutz Mibal Tashchis, Uval Takif, Uval Titamei La Mesim. The three exceptions where, although they are negative commandments, women are exempt from them, are the following. The first one is Val Tashchis, which is the idea of being Mashchis Lo Tashris es peas zekanecha, doing hashchasa, marring a part of a person's beard. That is irrelevant for a woman. The pasuk tells us, lo tashris es peas zekanecha, ve'ena isha chayevespa. The woman would be exempt from it. The rabbis learn, zekanecha, your beard, lo zakan ishtacha, and not your wife's beard. In the event that a woman does have a beard, she still would be exempt, and she'd be allowed to remove her beard in any manner possible, as opposed to a man who cannot use a knife, a blade on his beard. The next exemption is Baal Takif. Baal Takif literally means you're not allowed to round. It is referring to rounding the pails, rounding the corners of a person's head. Women are exempt from that as well, as opposed to a man who must keep what is called his peos, the corners of his beard. Different opinions exactly where these corners may be. Regardless, it is forbidden for a man to remove his peos, but a woman would be exempt. And finally, the last halacha, ubal titamei la meisim. This is referring to a man, a male kohen, who is not allowed to defile himself for the dead. He cannot come in contact with any deceased individuals, not just contact, can't even be in the same room, can't even be under the same tent. The halacha of Titamei La Mesim only applies to male kohanim and not to female priests. This is based on the pasuk in Parshas Emor, Emor la kohanim b'nei Aaron, the nefesh lo yitameh ba'amav. Speak to the sons of Aaron, they're not allowed to become Tamei. The Gemara learns B'nei Aaron, the sons of Aaron, below B'nos Aaron, and of the daughters of Aaron. Hence, female Kohanos are exempt from this specific halacha.